Good afternoon, sir. And what is your name, sir?
My name is Devon Dion Caldwell.
Okay, now if you just hold on, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will be conducting your hearing at this time, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
All right, sir. Could you just please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
My name is Devon Dion Caldwell, and my ADC number is 115021.
All right, thank you, sir. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today, okay?
Yes, sir.
Very sir, to my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Mill. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And to my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I am going to be acting as your hearing lead this morning. I do want to also inform you that you do have some supporters that's here in the room with us today, too, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right. So before we get started, I'm just going to just make a note that we do have a letter in here from the county attorney's office dated March 19th. Of 2019 that object to any possible release of your release, and then I'm going to go through some information that we have here with us. I do want to acknowledge that we do have your release plan and the information that you have sent us. You appear before this board, sir, for absolute discharge of parole to your next consecutive sentence. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
So you are currently serving a life sentence for murder in the first degree.
Yeah.
And you will become, you're not parole eligible yet, but you will become parole eligible on July 9th of 2019. If you're paroled to your next consecutive sentence, you will go to a 21-year sentence for armed robbery. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yeah.
According to the release plan that we have here for you, it basically says that you plan on going into ministry. You want to help people. Your goal
is
to heal broken hearts, and said you would also like to go to church on the streets. Their ministry will be there to help you. You also have listed on as a release plan as Maureen Purvis, that lives at 2131 West Salmon Street in Chandler, Arizona. So I see that I do have, you know, where you've taken some programming, and also see the certificates that you also have here that you have on the file. So there's one thing that I want to ask you about, that you do have a minimum amount of discipline, the tickets that you received since you've been in there. But I see back in 2015, which is the last thing, that you were involved in a fight. What was that about, sir?
It was the wrong approach. I was talking to a brother, and somebody else asked me to talk to him because he was getting in some trouble. And when I went to go talk to him, I guess he was at his wit's end, and then he just started swinging. And but I didn't fight back. I just, you know what I mean. But I guess he just was. He was just at his wit's end of just tired of everybody telling him what to do and everything like that. And I just came as a friend, but unfortunately, I got the short end of the stick. But I don't hold no grudges, nothing like that. And you know, it's one situation I regret. You know, maybe, you know, I think my Achilles heel is wanting to help too much, and sometimes I got to step back and just let things, you know, play out as it is.
Okay. And according to this, your annual report, you didn't have anything until 2005 after that, I mean prior to that, which was 10 years. And you do have a very minimal amount of violations that you've seen being incarcerated. So, Mr. Caldwell, you are 48 years old now? Or 48?
Yes, sir.
48? Sir?
The phone kind of broke up a little bit.
Okay, you 48 years old now, sir?
Yes, sir.
All righty. So it looks like you've been before this board. You came back before this board in 95. At that time, you appeared and waived you for a parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. And then in 96, you came before this board for parole to your next consecutive sentence, at which time you were granted to go to your next consecutive sentence. Is that about your understanding of your involvement with the board, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, according to the information that we have here, with your incarcerated boys, the incident that happened back in August of 1993?
Yes, sir.
You and two other defendants entered into the Delta Social Club with the intent to commit an armed robbery. While inside, three of you guys ordered patrons to give you their money, purses, and jewelry. The owner of the club, Dahl Lewis, was approached by you and ordered to relinquish his money. Both the victim and you had guns. Shots were fired in exchange. So the victim was struck three times and later pronounced dead at the hospital. Is that about what was going on during that period of time, sir?
I didn't hear that last question, sir. Can you repeat it, please?
So what happened during that period of time?
As I was leaving the club, I was shot and I returned fire, and unfortunately, Mr. Dahl Lewis, I ended up killing Mr. Dahl Lewis.
Okay.
Which I deeply regret.
Okay. So what was going on with you during that period of time, sir?
I was just unstable and you know, young and rebellious and I was angry, you know. I was mad at the world and I just had no direction at that moment and I ended up just doing something very stupid and unfortunate and it's something that I'm paying for now but the most part that grieves me the most is taking a life, and I just, man, you know, I'm very in deep regret about that, man. Really, really sorry about that, but yes, I am. But I was just going through so much, and you know, even growing up, you know, my life wasn't really that stable. So, but I was just angry. I was just angry, and I think a lot of things played into that, because, you know, I remember turning 18 years old and getting pulled over by the officers, you know, and they was just, you know, they found out I was 18 and they started clapping, and I didn't understand why they was clapping, you know. So, but that just put fuel on the hurt that I've been through as a child, because as a child I was molested and everything like that. So, you know, there's a lot of things just occurred up until then, and I didn't know how to process the hurt at the time. You know, and then it just this right here is what it ended up being, which I deeply regret today.
Well, sir, I'm going to tell you, I did look through your packet that you had, that you sent us, your
plan
packet. I want to tell you, sir, that I looked at all the letters that you had in here and the support letters that you had in here, and I'm going to tell you, sir, I was really impressed. Especially with two letters that I saw in there that were from CO2s at the prison that spoke spoke very highly of you and about the programs that you were doing, and that you seemed to always have a smile on your face and always jubilant and happy, and that one of the COs that said, made a statement and said that he's been in prison, I think, about 15 years, and that basically, he's seen a lot of people that come to prison and get religious, but he said with you that this is true, and that they've supervised you for 10 years and 15 years, and they've all had very good good relationships with you, and spoke very, very highly of you. I was kind of curious. He says that in one of the letters talked about there was something that you experienced in prison that really altered and changed your life around. And he didn't say what it was, but I'm curious, what was the altering situation that changed your life, sir?
When I first came to prison, I was still angry. And And when I came to the county jail in 93, and I was just so angry. And then when I came to prison in, I think in 95, I was still angry. And one day I was just in my cell. I just asked myself, I said, why am I so angry? And nobody's even do nothing to me. But I didn't know how to change. I didn't know what to do. So I didn't seek nothing. I just asked the question, why am I so angry? And then in 2001, when the towers came down, it kind of did something to me as if God was speaking, but I didn't know what God or who to go to or whatever like that. But I was just like, something is going on and I need to change because this was a pivotal point, not only in America, but in the world. So it struck a chord with me. So in 2002, I was laying in my bed and I turned towards the wall and I said, God, if you're real, I said, you need to show yourself to me. I said, because I'm not gonna never make it out of this place. I said, my life is gonna, I'm gonna make a mess out of my life if you don't show up, because I have this anger and I don't know how to get rid of it. You know, and then some people start inviting me to church, man, and then in 2005, you know, if I could be honest with the board here, I used to sell dope and everything on the yard and everything like that. But I never did the drugs, but I used to trade my heroin for marijuana. And I went to go trade it for some, nobody didn't have no marijuana. So I went back to my building. And as I proceeded back to my building, my whole run got pitch dark, you know, and I just kept on walking. I lived in the back, and I fell to my knees. I can't tell you why, but I fell to my knees, and I just heard some voices just start saying to me, your life is going to be in vain. But I was so mean, I wasn't even scared. And I just said to the voices, I said, I can't understand you. And when I heard a voice say, all you got to do is trust me. And when I looked, it was Jesus. It was the person that I had a problem with, because in my eyes, he raped and pillaged my people and put us in slavery, you know. So that's how I was thinking. And when I looked at him, I seen that he wasn't no color, but he was brighter than the sun. And I said, you real? You know, and then he said, Ron, it's not about you. Save my sheep. It's not about you. Bring my kids into my kingdom. You know, and I said, Lord, but I stuttered. I said, I can't talk. You know, I'm like Moses, you know. And he said, I'm going to speak through you. And I said, well, you're going to have to, because that right there is one of my things that I couldn't do. I couldn't stand up in a classroom and read a newspaper clip and let alone, you know, have a conversation, you know. And then he just started telling me, Lerone, you're going to be a beacon of light, you know, and I'm going to see you as far as your eyes can see. And I'm just like, you know, why me? Because at this time, I'm saying there's nothing good in me, you know. There's nothing good in me. And why you want to use a old messed up person like me? But when I would look at him, it felt like my skin was coming off my bones, you know. And then I went to peek at him again, and he wasn't there, and my cellie was right there. And my cellie, I didn't know what was going on, but I looked around the pod, and I started hearing different things. Like, some people started saying the dope man went crazy, and then I had some friends there. They were like, Lerone finally snapped, and then I looked at my cellie, and he was shaking his head. And I said, oh, man, they didn't see what I seen. I experienced what I experienced. And when I looked down, it was a puddle of tears on the floor. And I looked at my shirt, and it was a puddle, and my shirt was soaking wet from tears. And so I guess I was crying the whole time when I was in the presence of the Lord. And so I didn't want to talk, and I didn't want to listen. So I crawled in my bed, you know, and it's like I tell some people, you know, maybe I was tripping, but that morning I woke up. I never wake up early, but I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and when I woke up, and I felt this tremendous power just raging through me, and I was like, and I felt high, and I was like, man, I ain't smoking no weed. What is going on? And then I heard a voice say, "Do weed make you feel like this?" I said, "Oh no, And I seen my Bible that I threw in my locker 3 years before that, because I said, why you write this thing if nobody understands it? And I only seen a corner of my Bible, and my Bible was literally breathing. you know, and I was like, you know, so I picked it up. Now I could have been tripping about seeing Jesus, but in that one moment, God taught me the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelations, you know, and that was just to make a long story short, you know, but from that day, people owed me thousands of dollars, you know, even next day, you know, people, one person owed me $10,000, one person owed me $5,000, and I went all to those people, and I said, you know what, you don't owe me no more, you know what I mean, and they were looking at me like I was crazy, and I was just like, no, you don't owe me no more, you know what I mean, they said, you want me to give to one of your friends, I said, oh, no, don't give it to nobody, I said, you don't owe me no more, you know, and they just was like, wow, you know, and so, but from that day forth, man, I haven't been the same, you know, I just, you know, and I call my experience a relational one, you know, I don't call myself religious, you know, but I had an encounter with the Most High God, and I just want to heal broken hearts, and I just want to be there for anybody, you know, I don't care who they are, you know, now I understand that Jesus didn't rape and pillage my people, and I understand that police is not my enemy, you know, the government is not my enemy, you know, anybody that is a human, you know, God wants me to reach my hand out to, and that's who I am today, and I just thank God, you know, that for this opportunity, you know, just to be before you, to even be considered to be released or anything like that, you know. So I thank y'all for hearing me out, but most of the thing I want to say before I go, I don't want to make it all about me, but to the Dahl family, to the Lewis family, I just want to say, man, I am deeply sorry. Oh, man, my heart goes out to that family, because I took a loved one away, and I just wish them the best, and I just hope that they could come to a place of healing, and just know that their family member life wasn't in vain, and I'm gonna allow God to do all that He needed to do with me that need to be done, so I could be a bridge for people to reach, you know, healing, and I just want to heal broken hearts, and I just thank y'all for hearing me out. Thank you very much.
All right, Charles, Mr. Carter, I was going to just mention, because I do have quite a few letters of support here. You do have some people here. You have certificates here. But I'm just telling you, I was impressed with these CO2s. One of them is CO2 Andre said that Andrade said he had been working for the Department of Correction for 18 years. And he had known you for all of those years. He said that he supervised you for 10 of those years and that you were an extremely hard worker. But he also made a comment, and he said that you were not only a model inmate, but a model man. And then there is another CO2, this is Caldwell 2, says he's there for 17 years. He says he never saw someone with so much joy in all my life. He seemed happier than any free person I ever met and always had a smile on his face. So one day I asked him what it was that gave him such a joy in a place like this. And what was it that gave you so much hope in life, knowing that you might not never ever leave that place? And then he said you began to tell him your gospel story of Christ, as you did here, and what it meant, and how he said he was just at a loss for words. And he says that it was a very profound change that you had taken place, and a powerful thing that the teaching had brought to you, but he didn't want to say what it was. So he said he wanted to take away something from you. So that's why I asked you that. And he says in his letter that he deal with many, many individuals on a daily basis. And he have been teaching cognitive behavior therapy for several years now and have a good understanding of what makes people behave the way they do. Then he says also, said that he would rather have you as his neighbor then to have to deal with these others being released in such short amount of time that haven't even bothered to contemplate their own debase. So, you know, they all talk about, and in the letters, you have some letters from some ministries in here that are very good. I think those things all speak for themselves in the packet that you actually sent us here, sir. I'm going to see if the board has any questions of you at this time, sir. So no questions coming from the board, so I do see that you have some supporters here. I believe you have your mother, your nephew, James Gray, your sister, look like Aletha Jones, and nephew, Larry Berman, I believe, and your sister, Cora Golding, and your mom is here, Miss Oka Jones. So did any of you want to speak?
Yes, only.
Okay, so when you come up, just come up to the mic and just state your full name and go ahead and present any information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I'm Laurent's mother. My name is Oka Jones. And like my son said, I think part of his problem is growing up. It could have been me, because I let my sister keep my kids. Found out she wasn't treating them right. So I came down there and I got him. When he was smaller than that, we all went to church. But, you know, like I tell him, you know, God had to, he tap you on the shoulder and just slow you down. And, but I'm proud of him here today. I mean, sometimes, like I just said, God will tap you and slow you down. And he meant for him to serve him in prison. Because every time I called down there, one of the guards would say, he's all right, praising the Lord. And he's teaching other guys about God. And that's wonderful. I used to go see him a lot, but I don't have my car anymore. So that's but. He's the sweetest son, or the sweetest guy you guys ever want to meet. And when that happened, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I had just came from California. I'm bringing my car back, because I had let my daughter on me to you. And so, I turned on the TV, my daughter-in-law, she's my ex-daughter-in-law. She told me to turn on the TV. But I already had it on. I said something already. She told me to turn on the news. I fainted when I heard. George, they had done, I woke up, they put the phone towels on me. I'm sorry.
It just fits on me.
Yeah. And that's when I first heard of it. That was, I guess it was like 3 or 4 days after it happened, because I was in California when I came back. That's what I came to. And, but you know what? I knew God put my son here. But he could pass, serve his word, use him like he's supposed to. And you know, one thing, I don't know if my son knows or not, but my ex-husband, Lester, he passed away. He died September the 22nd, and his headstone is like right here. Don Rose died August the 22nd, and his headstone is right underneath the Ron Father. When we go visit Lester, we visit him too. Yeah. And I just please, friend. I know a lady named Miss Johnson. I used to live in Tanner Garden. She used to pray for my son. Yes, she did. She was a good one. So, I can't get up here and cry when my heart is serious. I've been so, not worried, but thinking about him a lot. And I just had a pacemaker put in not too long ago. I had a heart attack. And it's right here. And I'm 66 years old. But please, friend, please. Thank you.
Okay, let me see if the board has any questions. See, my question, let me ask you one more question, Ms. Jones. You say you was at Tanner Garden, a lady named Ms. Johnson, was it Zora Johnson?
Yeah.
That was my grandmother.
I thought that was your mom.
No, Zora was my grandmother, Jack was my father.
Oh, the one that the mother right here?
Yeah.
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 I thought that was your mom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, sometimes, well, you know what, it could have been my mom if it was more recent.
My mom
was out there too, and her last name was Belcher, but they called her Miss Johnson. A lot of people call her Miss Johnson because of my last name. So, all right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Is anyone else, you know, going to speak? You just come on up and.
Hey everyone, my name is Olivia Jones. Lauren is my oldest brother. I'm 44 now. I last seen my brother when I was like, I don't even know, 4 or 5. We were all separated, foster care. And then when I was 17, I was going to pick up my brother because we had found him. And he was supposed to come down to live with me. I was like 8 months pregnant because I was 18. And then after that, he was like, "Nah, sister, I'm gonna come. Let me gather up like everything I need to do out here, and then I'm coming, you know, to California with you guys." And then I left and went home, and I got the call saying that he got arrested. I never knew what happened after that. We lost touch again for a long time, and I never knew about the trial or nothing, anything that was going on. I wish I was here, you know, for that backbone for him. But we did go through a lot as kids. I know he protected us so stuff wouldn't happen to us. And once again, that's why we were put in foster care. And I know there's no excuse, but he did go through a lot. And I know my brother, he's a protector. He didn't mean no harm. He don't mean harm, you know, to hurt anyone. So I don't really know what went on with that situation, but I know he's a good person. He has a good heart. And I'm asking you guys to look at that and give him a chance to, you know, show he's good. So he can be the person he needs to be for everyone. His sisters, his 4 of us left, 3 of us left, 1 died in 2012. So due to her, you know, issues and what happened to her as well. So I do want my brother home because I miss him, I love him, and I know he's a changed man. Thank you.
All right, there's no one else. Okay, all right.
Hello, I'm Cora Gaudi, Lauren's sister. I'm 40. I'm going to be 46 tomorrow. And.
Happy birthday.
So I got a nurse. I just want to let everybody know I love my brother. And he is a good man. And like my other sister said, we did go through a lot as young kids, you know, back and forth to foster care. And with our auntie, you know, who mistreated us. You know. But I just want my brother to come home to us. He has a lot of nephews and nieces. and I miss him. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Board, any questions? There's no questions coming from the board. Mr. Caldwell?
Yes, sir.
Sir, the board's coming up on a conclusion of you. Did you want to say something, sir? Come on, if you want to say something, there's no problem.
Oh, this is great.
Okay.
Try to hold it together. So my name is Charles Miller, and I was incarcerated with LaRock, and he's directly affected me in my life, and indirectly affected me by the people who he's discipled inside prison. And you know, I can honestly say that he's been used by the Lord in such a way that it's just amazing. It's just beautiful, and he's infectious. You can't help but smile when you're around him. And I just love the man, and I owe him. There's nothing in the world that I could give him that would pay him back for the things he's done for me spiritually. you know, and I was just following the Lord, and I was just doing what he's told, but, you know, I'll do that, you know. You know, and I've been out for almost 2 years now, a little over a year and a half, and I've done all the right things. I got off parole, you know, I've had the same job since I got out. You know, I got my license, I've been married, I've said my covenant vows 3 times already in public, you know, with my wife, and it's just amazing, and, you know, he's a huge part of it, and the men's side that he's been discipling, who are now discipling, and discipling, and discipling, it's a pyramid, it really is, it's spreading like wildfire, and it's just amazing. I'm just so glad that I was part of it.
Thank you, Seth. And congratulations on, you know, 2 years and getting on parole and doing those things. How's it feel?
Feels great. That's really good. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Collier, we're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing. So as we come up on the conclusion of your hearing, is there anything else you'd like to say to the board, sir, without repeating yourself?
I just want to thank you for considering, you know, and allowing me to share. And I just want to thank my family and my friends, you know, that are there. And today, my heart is full. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you, sir. So the board's going to go into discussion. During the time when we're in discussion, we will make a decision whether to parole you to your next consecutive sentence or deny parole to your next consecutive sentence. We're going to be in discussion. While we're in discussion, Mr. Caldwell, I need you to stay on the phone so that you can hear the conversation taking place amongst the board. Once the board makes a decision, sir, I will get back with you with the board's decision, okay? Okay, so stay on the phone, but I need you to remain silent, okay? This is very, I just have to say again, I was very impressed with the letters that the two CO2s wrote in reference to Mr. Caldwell, as well as the letters, and that he does have a minimal amount of discipline, although you had to fight in 2015, in which he explained, which really goes along the line of what the COs and the people there with him have said, that he was mentoring and talking to other people. And we hear a lot of people in prison that say they got religion, and the CO2s that was struck me is that they just said this is the first time that they really, you know, seen somebody that was really living it, that they was always smiling. He says, one of the things that struck him, he said he just had to ask him, I used to always so happy and always smiling, and you may never get out of prison. And those were the things that were said. So in his release packet, we had all of that. And, you know, it's rare that we do get sometime get a letter from the prison guards that's there, but I've never seen letters that came this compliment of what they've given of Mr. Caldwell. And I think that speaks wonder of itself based on that information. I do want to say that at Tanner Gardens is a senior apartments out in South Phoenix, and my grandmother stayed out there, my mom stayed out there for a number of years, and they all travel around. I still know a lot of the seniors that's out there at Tanner Garden, and it's a place where a lot of them are. My mom never, I tried to get my mom to live with me. She didn't want to leave her friends, but that's just the way that it is. But I do, at this point, just to move things forward, based on all the information that we have, I see Mr. Caldwell. I am in favor of moving Mr. Caldwell to his next consecutive sentence, which is still a 21-year sentence for armed robbery at this time. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I don't think Mr. Caldwell is the same man now that he was back then, the day that this occurred. He strikes me as being an entirely different person, so I would agree with that.
Any more comments?
Well, I know what else. We should mention, though, that whatever happens, it wouldn't happen until July
19th.
July 9th of this year.
Okay. No other comments then?
Yeah, we agree with Mr. Johnson. I feel that he's really been touched. I think that's very important. Thank you so much.
It's kind of been amazing this week. You know, I heard several cases where crime happened on Buckeye Road back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, I'm going to move to deny, not deny, grant Mr. Caldwell parole to his next consecutive sentence. We're going to deny the absolute discharge because we have a succession to actually go through. That will be my motion at this time.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Mr. Gonzalez, Mr. Hill, Dr. Riley. So, the release type, I am denying the absolute discharge and granting the parole to his next consecutive sentence. 412B. And as part of his conditions of going to his next consecutive sentence, that he has to abide by all, continue to abide by all institutional rules, partake in any available programming, and refrain from disciplinary infractions. So, Mr. Caldwell?
Yes, sir.
Sir, the board has voted to parole you to your next consecutive sentence, which is the next sentence that you have is the sentence for armed robberies of 21 years sentence. However, you're not eligible for parole until July 29th of this year, okay?
Yes.
All right. So, do you have any questions, sir?
You said I'm getting parole to the next sentence?
Yes, sir.
And if I'm mistaken, is that a 21-year sentence?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so Mr. Caldwell, I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board. So that is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a blessed day.
You too. And I want to thank all your family for taking the opportunity and time for coming out here and being able to speak on support of Mr. Caldwell. Thank you.
Please put the CLC back on the form, sir.